We're learning about using drones with infrared cameras to gather soil temperature data that may give scientists a better picture for how the landscape can handle things like runoff and contaminants. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What do you think of using drones to better understand Wisconsin topography and, by extension, the cleanliness of our groundwater? Are you a geologist? How are you using drones to advance your research? We're at 800-642-1234 throughout the hour. Grace Graham is a geologist and a licensed drone operator with the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. Grace, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
And Dave,
good to be with you.
Yeah, good to be with you. And Dave Hart is here. He's a hydrogeologist and geophysicist at the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. He's also a professor in the Division of Extension. Dave, welcome to you.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, good morning. Before we get to the drones, Dave, you work as a hydrogeologist. What do you focus on?
Our office does a lot of groundwater studies around the state. We look at, trying to support policy and issues. We look and see, are aquifers vulnerable? How might the DNR, Department of Ag Trade and Consumer Protection counties, how can they set policies that are based on science and kind of protective of the groundwater resource as well, too. Grace was involved and I were involved on a study that mapped and looked at springs and did a database of springs in Wisconsin as well. So we kind of cover the whole of groundwater in Wisconsin and try to support decisions that society needs to make regarding that resource.
Dave, is soil a good indicator of what we did to our earth in the past and what we're doing to it now? Does soil have a story to tell?
Most certainly. The more I do geology, the more I kind of appreciate the landscape. And it's a real pleasure to perhaps ride in a car with a glacial geologist around Wisconsin. They can they just can read the landscape and the history of the glaciers and how the landscape was shaped by the glaciers. That was really one of the main forces that left us our soils and our kind of this agricultural legacy is based on what those glaciers did to our landscape. And I really kind of enjoy the seeing how the geology varies and how that ties in with where we farm, where we do all sorts of our activities.
Grace, what is your research focus in geology? What are you working on?
Sure. I provide a lot of support to a variety of projects at our office. I do a lot of field work. So for the project we're talking about today, I'm a licensed drone operator. I collect aerial imagery. I also do a lot of spring monitoring around the state, sampling groundwater. I describe cores of sediment to assist with mapping the glacial deposits. So I do a bunch of different things supporting our staff at our office.
Yeah, so you're really out in the field getting your hands dirty and, flying drones. Have drones been an advancement in the tools in your toolbox as a geologist?
Sure. I would say in general, drones, it's a growing field throughout research. The technology is getting better and more affordable, and drones offer you a way to see things from a perspective that we otherwise really didn't have at our own hands. For this project that we'll talk about today, we've been measuring the temperature of the soils in farm fields. I've also used drones along Lake Michigan bluffs where there are problems with erosion, so we can see that by flying over the water and looking horizontally out. So just in general, just way more accessibility of seeing things now.
Yeah, much more of a bird's eye view. We have Grace Graham with us and Dave Hart. Dave is a hydrogeologist. Grace is a geologist and drone operator, licensed drone operator. They're with the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey at UW-Madison. Are you a geologist or someone who studies our soils? What have you found? Tell us about your research, 800-642-1234. Dave, you decided to conduct a study that uses drones to look at soil. This is fairly new. Why did you decide to study our soil in this way?
Sure. Depth to bedrock's really important for protecting what we call the Silurian Dolomite Aquifer over in eastern Wisconsin. This aquifer's really vulnerable to contamination because it's highly fractured, and once a contaminant can get in these fractures, it can travel really quite easily through the rock and can end up in somebody's well. And so if you have a thicker soil, that kind of filters and slows the contamination. And so maybe you don't end up with an issue at somebody's well. If you have a thin soil, well, then it increases the risk that somebody's well is going to get contaminated. And so the DNR recognized, and Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection recognized that this was an issue, and they put forth some rules that are still going through the process. But these rules kind of govern how much manure can be land spread at different depths to rock. And so farmers need a good way to know where they can and can't spread. You know, they have a pretty good sense of their fields, but they don't know exactly where that 2-foot cutoff, that 3-foot cutoff is. And so we thought, well, let's come up with some tools that make it more easy to determine these depths. And so in that way, we can keep land in production that should be in production, and we can be more protective of our groundwater as well, too. You know, by applying science, we can maybe come up with some, you know, really kind of honor those the rules that are going forward, and do a better job of mapping so that we're can kind of both keep farming and can protect the groundwater.
Grace, tell me if I'm thinking of this in maybe a way that at least to me makes sense. Like when you're in a swimming pool, the deep end is cold and the shallow end is much warmer, the water that's kind of at your ankle, lapping at your ankles. Is that kind of a good similarity to what you see when you're looking at soil through these infrared camera images?
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. The thinner soils are less insulated than the thicker soils. So when we're measuring temperature across the field, what we saw when we did this was the thinner soils were warmer in the images and the thicker soils were cooler. And that's because the thinner soils can lose their heat more readily than the thicker soils because of that insulation.
We're talking about our geology. We have UW-Madison hydrogeologist Dave Hart and geologist and drone operator Grace Graham. They're explaining drone-driven soil analysis and how that mapping may inform the state of groundwater contamination. Do you live in Kewaunee County? Have you dealt with groundwater contamination in your community? What's being done to solve this issue? Are drones helping you better understand your topography? What do you want to know about the connection between geology and groundwater contamination? Join in at any point, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dave Hart and Grace Graham here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're discussing drone-based data gathering for soil analysis to better understand how the topography is connected to our groundwater. We're diving into UW Science and Research here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Aerial imaging can have a whole bunch of different applications, and the rise of drone technology in agriculture is gaining momentum, mapping things like soil health, mapping things like moisture in the soil, vegetation. What have you learned about the topography in your area through drones and infrared cameras? Where will this technology go next? How do you think drones can help with data gathering in your research specialty? It's 800-642-1234. We have hydrogeologist Dave Hart and geologist and licensed drone operator Grace Graham for the hour. So, Dave, when you're looking at this data that Grace is able to gather through these images, what can you tell from the thermal imaging that Grace is gathering from the drones?
Yeah, so what the infrared camera does is it records a temperature over a small area, you know, one pixel, which is usually on, you know, Grace would know this better than me, but it records just a temperature and over a small area. And, you know, there are hundreds of these measurements collected in each photo that the camera takes. Mm-hmm. And so Grace generally sets the drone up so that it will fly to a point, take a picture, fly to another point, take a picture, and then she'll mosaic all of those pictures together. And we can come up with a map over an entire farm field of the temperature at that time. And then from that temperature, and it varies. In one of the studies, it the hottest temperature in the field and the soils was in like 65 degrees, and the coldest temperature was like 35 degrees. And so, you know, that's a huge variation. And so then from that, then we could relate that temperature change to, you know, that we've recorded over the entire field. We had gone out with a push probe, and which is just a metal rod that you push down into the ground until you hit the rock. And we had gone out with a push probe, and we're able to say, hey, where the push probe hits shallow rock, we have higher temperatures, and where the push probe hits deeper rock, it's cooler. So
yeah. Grace, can you explain your quadcopter drone and how you're gathering these images?
Yeah, sure. So it's a quadcopter, meaning it has four propellers, and it's about 1 foot tall, 1 foot wide, and has both an optical camera and, for this project, this thermal camera that we've attached to it. Everything can be operated by a remote control. You can move left, right, up, down, spin the drone around, tilt the camera, take images. But as Dave said, I believe my internet cut out there for a second.
That's okay.
We can also automate flights because there's a built-in GPS into the drone. So you can program the drone to hover at a grid of points where there'll be enough overlap between the images to mosaic them together, merge them together into a single panorama. And when you automate the flight, it's pretty cool. You just go out there, you lift off, and then you hit a button, and the drone does its thing. It's
drone, go do my work for me. But there's so much programming in the background to make it do what you need it to do, I would imagine.
Yeah, a lot more time in the forefront of the project of planning it. Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
It's really kind of neat to just see this little machine just kind of hum itself up into the sky, and then it'll just move itself and stop and take pictures. I don't know. It's just kind of cool to watch and see and be part of.
Yeah. We're talking with Dave Hart and Grace Graham. They're scientists with the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. Their research is using drones and looking at regional groundwater flow and contamination by further understanding soil temperature and what the soils can tell us. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Grace, the images that you're gathering here, super colorful, I would imagine, but the color of an image, you know, whether it's 65 degrees or 35 degrees, that's quite a variation. So what would that depiction look like on your iPad screen?
Sure. So we're using an infrared camera. It's measuring the heat transmitted or emitted off of objects, sort of like night vision, some types of night vision goggles, and it's showing temperature along a color gradient, with one extreme being hottest, the hottest surfaces, and the other extreme the coldest. So the actual colors, it depends on what is in the frame in terms of which color gets which temperature, but that gradient is stretched over the image. Actual temperature data is stored in the pixels, so you after you take an image, you can back in the office change the color scale actually. But often, you're right, it's this rainbow scale with red showing the hot and blue showing the cold, and yellow intermediate temperatures.
Yeah, so Dave, once you see these colors and the red and the hot, the blue and the cold, and the intermediate area and the yellow, connect that to us to what you can then explain with groundwater.
Sure. So another step that we do is we locate though that image that or maybe that whole mosaic of all the photos, we locate that in space and put that on an air photo of the field. And so we can then go and look and see, look at things in the field and say, okay, yeah, that's kind of a valley there, and that's got a little bit thicker soils, and that kind of makes sense. There's maybe some of the soils have kind of moved down into that valley, and this is a little upland area, and the soils are really thin there, and that would be an area that is maybe more susceptible to to contamination. And one of the other things that I had no idea we would be able to see, but a lot of times in that Silurian dolomite, there are fractures, there are cracks in it. And sometimes they fill up with a little bit of soil, those vertical cracks. And the plants, if you have thin soils, the plants that are over those cracks are much happier, and they show up as green in an air photo. And we notice some of these at our field site with these vertical cracks, and we could see them also in the temperature. So it was a really pretty sensitive measurement. These cracks are only several inches wide, and the green grass is only a foot or so. So it was a really pretty good indicator that this is a pretty sensitive method, and we can really kind of see pretty subtle differences in the landscape.
How much temperature variance do you see when you do one imagery test of infrared and then you go back and do the same imaging of the same area at a different maybe time of day or a different date on the calendar?
Grace, do you recall that that
I don't have like real values, but definitely there are big differences. It matters what time of day because the sun can heat up the soil. Whereas if you were to image in the morning after a cold night, it's lost. It's lost heat over the night. Cloud cover, sun, solar radiation, the time of year, they all factor into it, definitely.
And so, Dave, I would imagine you have to take that into account as you interpret what you see from these images.
Yeah, definitely. And so we did the test that you were talking about. We did our first flight, I think, in November of last year. And that was so we were looking at ground and bedrock that had been heated up all summer and fall, and now the surface was starting to cool off. And so that's why I think the bedrock was warmer than the air was warmer than the soil overlying it, because it had been warmed up all summer. And then we went back and did it in the spring. I believe it was March, Grace. Is that?
Yep,
Yeah.
March.
And so then that I think the situ we were expecting the situation to be flipped, and there it would have been, the bedrock would have cooled all winter, and then we were looking to see shallow soils show cooler temperatures, but it didn't seem to be as good a time of year to do it. And I kind of think that maybe snow melt might have had something to do with that. you know, this is, we were frankly, I was surprised that the method worked at all. And so this is, you know, the classic where we need to go out and really kind of try to understand what's going on with the physics a little bit more before, you know, we can't just write an equation and say the depth of bedrock is this. We have to kind of correlate the temperature that we see to some push probe measurements or some other type of measurement.
Yeah, keep trying to replicate what you're doing. Yeah, Dave Hart, hydrogeologist and geophysicist with the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. Grace Graham, a geologist, a licensed drone operator. She flies drones to collect aerial and thermal images of soil. Do you farm? What do you think about using drones to study your soil? Do you think this could be a better way to learn about your landscape? How do you monitor the soil? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we discuss using drones equipped with thermal cameras. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Drone operators fly them over the landscape that is maybe more prone to groundwater contamination to measure soil depth, to measure moisture, to get a read on what the soil can handle from ag runoff. We're learning about what a bird's eye view of geology can tell us about our water quality. What drone images tell you in your line of work? Are you a drone operator? How do you see drones collecting data? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Dave Hart is a hydrogeologist and geophysicist, and Grace Graham is a geologist and drone operator. They're from the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, and they are with us for the hour. Let's bring in a call now. Mike is joining us from Adams. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I just had a story that kind of went along with what you're talking about this morning that I kind of wanted to share with you. I lived in an older home with my wife in the city of Adams, and at one point we received a letter in the mail saying, did you know you have a well in your house and that you, if you're using it, you have to make sure it's brought up to code or you'd have to cap it or take care of it. And we looked at each other and said, do we have a well? And we actually went down in the basement in this older home and actually found a pipe sticking up out of the basement with a cap on it. And basically we ended up following instructions and having to fill it up with cement and capping it. But when I checked into it, the reason for this was, you know, to keep our groundwater safe. And I guess they were looking at old wells all over in the area and trying to find out if people were still using them or not using them. And just as a side note, I wanted to ask Grace if I always thought it'd be fun to be able to learn how to fly a drone. If she had to take lessons to do this, if she did it as a hobby before she got into it. But that's kind of what I wanted to share with you this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Your talk.
Yeah, Mike, that is just far out. You know, we're going to get to the drone here in just a second, but Dave, is this like, could you find a well in an old house?
I think the best way to find the well is kind of what Mike did, and, you know, go down and find the pipe, and I thank him for filling it up. You know, old abandoned wells are a quick route from the surface to our groundwater resource. And so, it's a really easy way to get our groundwater contaminated if we don't know what's going on with that well top.
I can just imagine getting this letter in the mail, having no idea that there's not only on your property a well, but it's actually in the basement of your home.
They used to do that to make it kind of convenient, but that's not that's not to code anymore. They like to have them outside and above, you know, have the there's some codes that the well drillers all follow to keep the wells safe and clean and provide good water. So,
Grace, how did you learn to fly a drone?
Yeah, it wasn't a hobby. I learned for this job, and licenses are issued by the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, maybe. So it's the same organization that would issue other pilot license, but The test is more about national airspace law and rules about flying during poor weather and stuff like that. There isn't a practical part of the exam. It's more just like when you take a driver's license test, you're tested on reading road signs. Well, here you're tested to make sure you know the rules about airspace. And I should say the actual operation is kind of fun. It's like a video game. You can move the drone around with joysticks while looking at a live video feed of what the camera sees. So you can use the camera to guide the flight.
Do you get better at the more you do it?
Yeah. Dave can attest to that. Yes.
Grace, what rules do you need to abide by when flying a drone?
Sure, there are rules about what altitude you can fly at. So for drones, you're not allowed to fly higher than 400 feet altitude. Lots of rules set in place so that you don't interfere with other air traffic. You have to keep a certain distance from obstacles like telephone wires. You always have to have a licensed pilot during the flight. I don't actually have to be the one to operate it, though, as long as I'm on site. If I trust him, I can hand Dave the remote controller and he can control it.
I don't know.
That's not going to happen. No.
Well, that's really interesting that as long as you're there, you can, hand the joystick over to someone else.
Yeah. Well, the drone really knows. It is a computer. It knows how to balance. So, yeah.
Well, I want to talk about Kewaunee County, because many Kewaunee County residents have wells that are contaminated. And this has been going on for years and well documented by scientists and the EPA. And Grace, part of your study looked at this county. Walk us through the field work you did to gather data about the soil in the region.
Sure. So this drone method isn't the only thing we are doing on this field to look at depth to bedrock. We have lots of tools in the toolbox, and Dave can talk about this too. But we have to ground truth. We have to have other information about the depth to bedrock to see whether or not the thermal image, the temperature soil is correlated with it. Mm-hmm. So we have push probes. These are metal rods that we stick into the ground. It's hard work because the soil there is clayey, but you just push it down until you hit bedrock and record the depth. And we have hundreds of these measurements across the field. Dave, he's a geophysicist, and they used lots of other instruments that help see through the subsurface and sort of estimate, again, that depth to bedrock. So yeah, we had lots of things going on. The drone was just one of them.
Dave, what instrumentation and work are you doing in Kewaunee County to understand what is happening to the groundwater there?
Yeah, sure. So I'll talk about what I'm doing and then maybe end with some other work that's going forward. So we're trying to come up with ways to map these shallow depth to rock fields kind of quickly and effectively. And so we're using things like ground penetrating radar, which would be a great method, but the clay soils, the radar waves just can't penetrate more than a foot or so. So that method was out. We're using something called a ground conductivity meter, and this uses electromagnetic, induces currents in the ground. And so you just walk around and it'll give you a sense of how conductive things in. The rock isn't very conductive electrically, and the soil really is. So if your instrument says, hey, things are really conductive here, you probably got thicker soils. And if your instrument says there's not much ability to conduct electricity here, you probably have thin soils. And the drone and all these instruments have GPS on them. So you know where that data point is in space, and you can then go back and relate it to the soils and the morphology, topology of the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's as I mentioned, there's some rules that are coming through that will kind of govern how manure will be spread. And part of that will be a study by Dr. Maureen Muldoon in our office to see what improvements happen because of we've changed our rules on how we spread manure a little bit. And she's looking at some fields in that are over this Silurian dolomite aquifer. And so we'll have confirmation that, yeah, these things are we are actually improving groundwater health and the health then hopefully of the Wisconsinites.
Talking with Dave Hart, hydrogeologist and geophysicist with the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. Grace Graham is here, licensed drone operator who works with the organization and is a geologist, talking about their research and what they can find out through their instrumentation, especially drones, and what soil has to do with our groundwater and its cleanliness. 800-642-1234 for your questions. Dave, you know, what do CAFOs and large farming operations, what does that do to the underlying soil?
Yeah, so you know, because they're larger farming operations, they're going to generate a little bit more manure. And so they are going, you know, so like all farmers, they're going to be spreading manure. And so they have to follow their rules are, I think, a little bit more stringent than a smaller farmer, but there's a lot of rules they have to follow. And I think the rules that are coming through will probably maybe restrict where they can spread things a little bit more than they are now. But hopefully, you know, that we can strike a balance between farming and groundwater health. You know, so what they have to do is they collect the manure, they store it, and then they will spread it on farm fields. And there's a lot of rules governing that now. And then, unfortunately, what happens sometimes is, especially if rain comes at the wrong time, that may push or cause that manure to migrate downward into the groundwater, which is something nobody wants. You know, the farmer wants that those nutrients to stay where mm-hmm. it can be used by the plants. They're not looking just to see it hit the groundwater any more than any of the rest of us want that.
Hydrogeologist Dave Hart, geologist Grace Graham, they're with us. Both research soil and groundwater flow at the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. The division is part of UW-Madison. What is the next frontier for using drones in agricultural or water quality applications? How do you think drones should be used in data gathering and analysis? How are drones reinventing data collection in your area? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about soil sampling and analysis with drones that are equipped with infrared sensors. Dave Hart is a UW hydrogeologist and geophysicist. Grace Graham is a UW geologist and licensed drone operator collecting aerial and thermal images. Let's take a call now. Tom is joining us from Appleton. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I've got two questions. First question is, has your research gone into the thermal values of the various soil types, or is that still on your roadmap? And then the other question was, how does the information and the changes on manure spreading regulations get out to the farmers? Is it a website? Do you have to register? Yeah. I'll take my answers off the air.
Tom, thanks. Dave, can you field that?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question on the thermal properties of the soil. And we did put in a string of temperature sensors down to bedrock, and we left it out for a week, and so we could see kind of the daily changes in temperatures. And we took a real quick look at trying to relate that to the soil thermal properties. And but there's way more work to be done. It's I'm really kind of surprised that how little has been done in measuring how temperature varies with depth in the soils. It's a relatively seems to not be a really common measurement. And so we've started doing that, and then that would be kind of, you know, that's part of that process of really trying to understand how the soil properties can affect our depth to bedrock measurements with by using drones and these and the temperature. Your second question about the
rules.
How
do you communicate with farmers? Yeah, about their soil properties.
Yeah. Oh, and so we'll have a. We will submit a report to DATCAP, Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, are the ones that funded this research, and we submitted a report to them that we could make that should be available from DATCAP on these properties.
Let's bring in Roger now in Cameron. Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to ask?
Yes, I was calling in regards to the farming soil surveys using a drone. What type of drones are required? Is it a heavy? It must be a four-prop, heavy-duty drone to carry the cameras and the batteries. But what type of cameras are used for field surveys, and what type of are the batteries used? Are they like a power tool? Do you exchange them? And what's the usual battery life on those drones?
Grace, right up your alley.
Sure. Yeah, the drone model that we're using, it's a DJI Phantom 4. It's a pretty common model. It's not on the higher end like you guessed. It's one of the maybe more expensive, cheaper drones, I'd say, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. The thermal camera is about, like an inch by 2 inches big, and the brand is FLIR. And the battery that powers the camera, the thermal camera, is just a 9-volt battery that you plug in. Battery life probably lasts about 10 to 15 minutes for both the drone and the camera.
Wow.
So there's lots of landing and replacing the batteries. You know, their batteries add weight, and the drone can't hold that much weight. So you can't put a big battery on it.
About what speed is that drone operating at?
Oh, I think... I don't know how fast it could go, but I don't know, 10 miles per hour is probably what I fly.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd like to touch on how I've seen some of the agricultural consultants, agronomists use them. They've just used, I think there's one I know of who has the exact same drone as us, and he just uses the optical to fly over the fields, and he can get a sense, pretty good sense of crop health. Just, you know, by that optical image. There's another fellow who uses, I guess, what's called a spectral imaging, and that breaks down the light into different wavelengths, and he can, I think, even get more insight into crop health with mm-hmm. that. And I think they all use about the same size drone as us.
If you're just joining us, Dave Hart is a hydrogeologist and geophysicist, and Grace Graham, geologist and licensed drone operator there with the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. And we're getting a bit of a survey of their research. Let's bring in Tim now in Green Bay. Hi, Tim. What is your question?
Hi. I actually live out in a rural area, and every year I get to watch these tanker trucks pull up, and then they hook up a hose to a tractor, and then when they spread or mix in the manure with the soil, and I'm just amazed that the tanker trucks are out there day and night, and I'm estimating it maybe a couple tanker trucks, a couple big tankers per acre. I'm wondering if that's regulated to how many tankers per acre.
Dave?
Yeah. So the CAFO will have filed a nutrient management plan with the county, and they should be following that plan. And there are rules that kind of govern how much manure you can spread. And currently, they also have setbacks from sinkholes and bare rock. All of those things are kind of laid out in that nutrient management plan. And the kind of the rules that are coming through for these depths to rock, they'll be part of the nutrient management plan. And I'm sure the DNR would have had to do this. They would have had to do an economic impact analysis on how much land may or may not get shifted according to these newer rules. But they should be following a nutrient management plan, and that would be on file with your county. You could talk to your county about that, and they could your county conservation office, and they could kind of let you know what's going on there.
Yeah. Tim, thank you for that question. You know, as we start to wrap up here, Grace, what does the future hold for drones and your field work?
Sure. Yeah. I think there's a lot of potential for just the drone in general, but also the thermal imaging from the air. Anything where a thermal contrast can tell you something about the environment. So one of the things we're trying out is using all of this equipment to locate springs within lakes. So springs mm-hmm. are groundwater, they're cold water compared to the surrounding surface water. And so this method might be a way to find springs, which are ecologically important resources in the state.
Yeah, Dave,
it's one example.
That's great. Well, Dave, where do you go from here?
Yeah, so I you know, one of the things I'm hoping is to kind of do a technology transfer so that agronomists and Wisconsin's ag community can, you know, maybe use the drone for the step to bedrock purpose that we're talking about. But I think there's you know, as Grace pointed to one other application, I think there's a lot of applications in agriculture too. You know, when's a good time to plant? What are your soil temperatures? When plants transpire, they're probably going to have a different temperature. And so you can maybe monitor how much, how the plants are doing from a water perspective too, by flying the drone. So I think there's a lot of applications, you know, beyond just this step to bedrock work mm-hmm. that we've done.
We'll stay tuned. Dave and Grace, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Dave Hart, hydrogeologist and geophysicist, a professor in the Division of Extension. Grace Graham, a geologist and licensed drone operator there with the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey. The drone research that we've been talking about funded through a grant through the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.